Ya, sejak pandemik COVID-19 melanda, ruang kerja kini tidak lagi terhad di pejabat, sebaliknya bekerja dari rumah dan juga hybrid. Namun sejak pelaksanaan besar-besaran bekerja di luar pejabat ini, amat sukar untuk pekerja membezakan ruang kehidupan dan juga pekerjaan mereka dan ada kalanya menyebabkan bebanan yang besar. Dengan pandemik yang masih lagi meluas pada ketika ini dan juga kemungkinan bekerja di luar pejabat masih akan diteruskan, bagaimanakah keseimbangan ini mampu dicapai? Kita bersama dengan Regional Consumer Insights Lead, Consumer and Marketing Insights Google APAC, Deborah Koh, bersedia pada ketika ini. Thank you so much, Deborah, for joining us. Alright, Deborah. Alright, businesses around the world have been dependent on technology for decades, but with the widespread adoption of work from home and hybrid working approaches as the result of the pandemic, we've now found ourselves being more connected than ever before, oftentimes unwillingly. How has the digitalization of businesses changed the way teams work with each other?
That's a great question. And I really think that the pandemic has really disrupted a rhythm that we've had in the past. So, you know, beyond technology, I think that people have had to really revisit a lot of their long-held beliefs in terms of the values and practices of how people work together. And I think that it has allowed us to have an opportunity to really go back to the drawing board in terms of how we want to work together and what role technology plays. And I think because of the working conditions that we have been under, technology has really had to catch up and adapt to the ways that we really do need to work. So in many ways, I think that there have been strong advances in technology, as well as new ways in which we have, and as you were saying, under duress in some sense, tried to figure out how to work in a digital environment. And so some of these things, I think, you know, which has really shown the resilience and the imagination of a lot of businesses, is, for instance, revisiting what do schedules look like? What does work look like? You know, creating flexible schedules, creating those strong boundaries that, you know, between our personal and our work lives, what could that look like beyond a 9-to-5? And another one is reinventing the collaboration methods in which we connect with our coworkers and really create together. For instance, I think being able to connect with people in other geographies to really get new and innovative ideas is something that, you know, may have been done in the past, but maybe not as frequently as it's been being done now. And as I was saying before, a lot of the technology has advanced to adapt to these new ways of working. So, for instance, Google Meet has, created polls and surveys and even breakout groups. So, for instance, in some of the trainings that I've been doing, just being able to be in a large group and then have these intimate discussions or get a pulse of how the audience is feeling, those are all things that are enriched by technology that may have not happened before in a training or a workshop environment. And then the third one, I think, is the ways in which we connect to other people. I think our VP had said it best. He was saying that we're all experiencing the same storm, but we're in different boats. And, you know, I am a mother of two very small kids. And so my experience with the pandemic is going to be very different from somebody who is living by themselves or, living with their parents or they don't have kids. So I think that recognizing that people are all having or experiencing the pandemic in very different ways has forced us to really connect with each other more, to touch base, see how people are doing, and not assume that people are experiencing the same things that we are. And so because we want to connect, but we are, you know, forced to be apart, how does technology help bridge that gap? Now, I wouldn't say that technology replaces face-to-face communication, but I think in instances where it's hard to do so, technology really does support it. So for instance, I've done fitness classes where I've had an instructor in Germany and I've had coworkers from the US, Europe, and also Asia, and I can see their families and their roommates and their spouses all working with me. And that's definitely been the most unique fitness experience I've ever had. And of course, like I've done team virtual escapes so that we can bond and really connect and do something fun without having it to be work related. So I think technology has really afforded us a lot of different avenues to really connect in very trying times.
We often hear that the pandemic has been a huge catalyst for digitalization as the bottom lines of many businesses have been severely impacted. While adopting digital may be good for some business, for a business in the long run, there are certainly teething issues in the early stages of implementation, and this can have negative effects on the employees themselves. Could you share with us insights on how digitalization has negatively impacted employees' well-being, and what are the issues that would crop up in the absence of proper preparation when working from home or remotely?
And I think you've hit the nail in terms of these teething scenarios. I think human beings in general don't like change. And so when you are forced to change, actually, I think human beings are really, that's where you see the best of humans, is when they are changing and learning new things. It's just that people don't, we really don't like to do that. So I think that you're right that when shifting really rapidly to almost fully digital environment, we've had to recalibrate in many ways. So we've had to reaffirm the importance of balance. So in the pre-pandemic times, we had time-based and location-based boundaries that helped us signal when the workday ended or when our home life began. And when you take away those signals, it's really hard for people to recognize when they should stop, when one phase of your life transitions to another. And so I think, you know, as you rightly said, there were teething issues in terms of us learning how to create new signals in order to create boundaries that we very, very much need. And you can see when those boundaries aren't created and we're still looking for those old signals, you can get different parts of your life blown out of proportion. So you can get burnout. People don't know when they should stop working. So I think that is an evolution of how people transition into a different working environment. And so the big question is, how do we honor our personal, our social, and our professional lives when you know, they were all under the same roof for a while, and now as we're transitioning, you know, what role should digital play in our lives, in these different aspects of our lives? And so I think without defining those clear roles, it does become very hard for people to manage that. And so on that, navigating and defining those new norms for how people work together, you know, what is the etiquette around video conferencing? How do I communicate? When do I email? When do I chat? These are all things that may have not been so clearly defined when we had a more face-to-face environment. And so really learning what those things are and creating real expectations around that, I think it is something that leadership, you know, had to face, of like, how do we create those expectations and those standards for working when we've been doing a lot of things differently in the past? So, I would say, there's that transition going to a highly hyper-digital working environment. And then now, as Malaysia is opening up, there's another transition that's going on right now, which I'm sure a lot of people have felt, is that transition going back to the office. So going to digital and then now going to perhaps, as you were talking about before, a hybrid working environment. So I think it is a misassumption to say that when we go back to office, we're going back to 2018 or 2019. And I think trying to work in such a way is going to be very difficult if that's the assumption that people have. So recognizing that people have come back from, you know, very different environments and may be excited or scared or nervous about going back to office, those are all things in which we need to understand how we get the best of both modalities. So how do we have digital technology really bring out the best, and how do we use face-to-face time, you know, maximally so that people can still find that balance? And so that really requires a lot of flexibility from companies. And I would say the last thing is digital skilling is really imperative to close some of those gaps. So one of those teething issues is when you go from not necessarily using technology that much to using it a lot, all of a sudden you have people that are on top of their work, on top of their personal lives and their family lives. They're also having to try to understand and learn how to use technology. So I think Google has tried to focus on preparing the workforce for a future that is really needs a lot of digital skills. And so we have set up things like the Grow with Google initiative, which helps to provide a lot of resources for companies and individuals to upskill themselves with technology.
Yeah. As for you, how do you manage your own relationship with connected technology, and what best practices or tips, so to say, work for you and that would be of help to others at an individual level?
I laugh because I love technology. And so I think that your question doubly applies to myself. And so I've definitely struggled because I, you know, love tinkering. And so what has really helped me is having a very strong routine and very strong boundaries, as I've sort of talked about before. So for instance, location-based boundaries, which I said, you know, like that long commute or, you know, even just having time away from the house. Now, I still have location-based boundaries. It's smaller. It's to my house. So I have one place where I work, and I'll talk about it a little bit later. But I also, when I scroll through my phone mindlessly, I can only do it in the kitchen. So I create boundaries for myself so that I don't sort of go overboard, so to speak. And then also, I try to control my calendar and my schedule. So I have two young boys that are in school, and so I have blocked out times for them. And luckily, I think Google has really made it clear that you need to respect those blocks of time for different schedules. And so people rarely try to put meetings during those times. And if they do, I don't feel bad to decline those meetings, because that is sacred time that I have with my family. And I would also say digital well-being features are really important to, you know, they're all on your phone, so take advantage of them. I have an alarm, or I have grayscale that turns on at 10 p.m. So it basically sucks all the color out of your phone and it makes it less appealing to you. So at 10 p.m., it's a signal to tell me I should start winding down, I should start sleeping. I'm getting ready for bed, and I don't have any notification sounds on my phone. So I check my phone at specific times of the day so that I don't get distracted or I don't try to multitask. And the last one I would say that I was kind of alluding to is I have an accountability partner. So as I said, I found that there are certain times where I use my phone in ways that don't necessarily contribute to my well-being and are not necessarily a good use of my time. And so I made a pact with my 5-year-old son that if he catches me using the phone outside of the kitchen, he can get a small treat. So suffice it to say, I have a highly motivated accountability partner to keep me in line.
It's one thing to take care of your own well-being, but it needs to also be realized at the organizational level to ensure that the employees are well supported. What should companies do to support employees affected by the effect of working from home, hybrid working, and help to look after their digital well-being as well?
That's a great question, and I think it is a question moving forward that should be on the top of most businesses' minds. In the US, people have been talking about the Great Resignation. And I'm not necessarily saying that that could happen in Malaysia, but I think that that is a call to action, that we need to review the ways in which we support our employees and put our employees first. We've actually already seen in the research that people's priorities are shifting in terms of what they're looking for in an employer. So for instance, in an Ernst & Young study that was published recently, almost half of Malaysians would quit their jobs if they were not provided post-pandemic flexibility. And 90% want flexibility in where and when they work. And I would say another study by Randstad Malaysia showed that work-life balance was second in terms of the most important employee value proposition when looking for an ideal employer. So we know that that is something that is stirring in Malaysia, that people are looking for companies that put their employee first. So some of the ways we think about showing, you know, walking the talk is it starts also with the leadership. So leaders should be role models. They are the ones that set the tone and they set the standards in terms of what, you know, how they view well-being, what is important, and what kind of examples of setting boundaries they can do. So for instance, we've had leaders show their vulnerabilities, really express how difficult it can be for many people, and really take rest and recharge seriously. So practitioners, you know, encouraging their employees to take breaks and then highlight when they are taking breaks and saying, I'm disconnecting. I really hope that you do the same. Another one is really just establishing basic principles of compassion that acknowledge those difficult situations. So listening to your employees, you know, taking surveys, that's something that Google has done throughout the pandemic to really adapt quickly to the changing needs of their employees. And, you know, understanding that where your colleague is coming from when they are transitioning back into a work, a return to office, you know, what are those things that we need to adjust and really to try to be flexible. So I hope it is a strong message to really value your employees because it does pay dividends.
All right, Deborah, thank you so much for spending time with us. Regional Consumer Insights Lead, Consumer and Marketing Insights Google APEC, Deborah Koh. Kita membincangkan bagaimanakah mencari keseimbangan antara bekerja dari rumah ini dan juga hybrid dan juga bagaimanakah untuk mengimbangi dengan ketersambungan teknologi pada masa kini. Sekian sahaja, Negawani, saya Najib Arif. Assalamualaikum, salam hormat.